Welcome to Tech Talk with Ashwin and Ria. This is Ria.
And this is Ashwin.
So we found that history has a very funny way of repeating itself. It may come as some surprise to find this old cliche applies as much to the history of computers as to wars and revolutions. For the past four decades, one trend in computing has been loud and clear. It is to move away from big centralized mainframe systems and more towards a personalized, power-to-the-people, do-it-yourself PCs.
Before personal computers took off in the early 80s, if your company needed sales or payroll figures or anything that needed calculation, you'd most likely have bought in data processing services from another company with its own expensive computer systems that specialized in number crunching. But today, you can do the same job just as easily on your own desktop with off-the-shelf software. Or can you? In a striking throwback to the 70s, many companies are finding, once again, that buying in computer services makes more business sense than doing it yourself. This new trend is called cloud computing, and not surprisingly, is linked to the internet's inexorable rise. What is cloud computing? How does it work? All these questions and more is what we'll take a closer look at on our podcast, Tech Talk. We promise to deliver the best hitting analysis of cloud computing trends in the industry. Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 2 of Tech Talk with Ria and Ashwin. This is Ashwin.
And this is Ria. So, Ashwin, thinking back to our first episode, I was going around the terms of virtualization and multi-tenancy, and I wanted to quickly quiz you, I suppose, on what they were. Do you remember?
I do, actually, and I spent enough time reading up on it because the episode left me curious, and there's so much feedback that we got from our listeners. So I think we did a great job of communicating what multi-tenancy and virtualization at a very basic level is. What really got me curious while I was reading about these terms is a couple of other things, other acronyms. I think tech is full of acronyms, and the cloud especially. I'm still getting used to this. So there's things like infrastructure as a service, software as a service, platform as a service. And I feel like I know what they mean, but I'd love for you to kind of just give me a more formal way to think about these three.
Well, tech does. They do love their acronyms. It's true. There's more to add to IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS. There's FaaS and a bunch of other things.
Can you just go over those acronyms again? Sorry. How do you pronounce?
So it's IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS.
So infrastructure as a service would be IaaS or IaaS?
Yeah, IaaS.
Okay.
And to add to IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS, which are more commonly used, there's also FaaS and a couple others that we will come across in later episodes. But for today, let's go over what IaaS is, infrastructure as a service, PaaS, platform as a service, and SaaS, which is software as a service. So let me talk to you about this pizza concept that I came across in one of my readings. So imagine you're in a pizza store, or you're kind of thinking of pizza as a service. So IaaS is more like you provision the dining table, the soda, the gas, the oven, and the rest, like the pizza dough, the tomato sauce or Alfredo sauce, the toppings and the cheese is provisioned by the cloud service providers like Amazon, Azure, or Google, Salesforce, or Red Hat, some of the other cloud providers who take care of all this.
And how would you compare that to the computing world?
So to compare that to the computing world, let's think of a bucket, a storage bucket that we use. So a bucket in the cloud is a place where you dump all your data. Now, you're thinking about what that kind of data to store, how to store it, how many buckets you should have, whether 10, 20, 30, and how to name those buckets. Like you can name one Bob, Marley, Tom, Ashwin, and Ria. Depends on you. As well as data encryption and who has access. So you as a user are controlling all of these features. But how at the back end the bucket is key stays secure over the internet and where the data itself sits, the hardware infrastructure, that's taken care of by the cloud providers. Another example would be for us to use the hydro or like electricity and water. So when we use the water services, we are washing our hands, doing our things, but we pay for the amount of usage that we have or a monthly fee. It's the same, but we don't take care of the pipes and how the entire water system works or where we get fresh water from. So the cloud provider takes care of all the plumbing, the pipes, all the infrastructure, whereas we think about how to get the water and how we use the water. It's very similar. If we can name our tap Bob, sure, we can name it Bob. Not a problem. So that's more like how IaaS works. So it takes away a lot of the overhead from the user's perspective.
Are there any examples that you can give us in our day-to-day lives or just products that are familiar, that we're familiar with in the IaaS world?
So day-to-day, IaaS is not something is used as often as SaaS or PaaS. So for IaaS, S3 by AWS is a great example. It's simple to understand. It's a storage example that I gave you initially. But think about it this way from the developer's point of view. You still have to design and code the entire applications you're building. The administrators still need to install, manage, and patch third-party solutions. But there's no physical infrastructure to manage anymore. So like during the days of procurement cycles where people would order physical hardware from vendors, that would ship the hardware to the buyer who then had to unpackage, assemble, and install the hardware, which consumed a lot of space within a data center. But none of that is a headache anymore. We just think about our application and how to install it and how we manage the interactions with third-party vendors.
And essentially, I don't have to have these huge servers, huge CPUs, etc. around me. All this is just being taken care of by the cloud provider. What I just focus on as a developer is just building that application and making sure things are fine at my end without having to worry about a lot of the physical stuff.
Exactly. And for that, one really good question to ask would be how these applications interact with S3 bucket or some of the features. It's through an API,
yeah,
which is known as an application programming interface, or launching from a web-based management console. So these are like, think of it like the head and your application is the body. So you have to create the head that can interact with all these resources. So it exposes what you've built.
I'm still confused about API, like you did say application programming interface. Is that what that expands to?
Yep, that's what it expands to. So think about your application as the body of a person, but the body cannot interact with the world. You need a head and a functioning brain, and you need some way of exposing the body to the rest of the world, which is usually through your head and your face. So the API comparatively would be similar to the head and the face.
And so every system would need a head and a just an operating mechanism.
Exactly. So they have to talk directly to the server through a request mechanism. And that's the use of the API. So that the server can talk to the rest of the world.
And is this very similar to what PaaS and SaaS are in their in the way that they operate?
Not entirely. API is more used for IaaS solutions. But the other, I wanted to ask you this. How do you think the billing works for IaaS solutions? Like given the hydro or electricity example that we talked about.
Yeah. So I would assume you kind of pay for, if we're talking about hydro, I'm going to use the water at different points in the day. I'm assuming that I'm going to get charged for those things only when I use them and not when they're not being used.
That's very true, actually. That's one of the best advantages of using cloud services because you're only paying for the amount of usage that you have. So if you compare it to the hydro, I'm not sure how your hydro works, but for my hydro, I have to pay like a monthly fee. So irrespective of the usage, I still have to pay an X amount. But for IaaS solutions in the cloud, whether Azure, Google, or AWS, we pay it as we use. So once you're done with your bucket, you can just switch it off. And once it's switched off, you wouldn't have to pay for the data that's remaining because it's powered off, essentially.
Got it. And just to translate this to the kind of further talk about this in the computing world, let's say a company uses the cloud resources that they've taken, IaaS in this case, and they spend 3 hours on a particular day, they will be charged X amount. And let's say the next day they spend 6 hours using those resources, the charge would be 2X.
Exactly. That's a really great example of how it works. So in IaaS, to recap, the application data, the runtime, the middleware, and the operating system, those are the only components that are managed by the user itself. So to get back to our pizza example, that computes to us worrying about the dining table, the soda, electricity or gas, oven and fire. But the pizza dough, the tomato sauce, the toppings, the cheese, it's all provided by AWS, Azure, or GCP, or cloud providers in general. So I call it the take a bake. You know, we add fire, it's the pizza's there, and we start making our pizza.
That is a great example. And I think there's a particular link that I will add in the show notes for the benefit of our listeners, because it kind of compares IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS in terms of the different things that the cloud provider does and what you do as a client, and that distribution of services and whose responsibility it is. It's a great way to think about this, but it'll make more sense after we have finished speaking about the other two models. But just an info to our listeners that you can always hop on to that link. And if you're listening to this episode and are just hanging out in your couch, which I'm guessing most of you are because none of us are supposed to go out, I hope you are at home, you can take this link and keep it in reference while we're speaking. Will make a lot more sense. So now that we've recapped IaaS, can we get into PaaS?
So why don't you take a shot at what PaaS is? And I'll give you this clue. In IaaS, you're controlling most of the infrastructure, so to speak. PaaS is the next level where a lot more of the infrastructure components are taken away from you, the user, and provisioned by the cloud providers. So take a shot.
Okay, let's say you're saying a lot more that IaaS used to do is now, that a client used to do while taking up IaaS services is now being done by the cloud provider. So there's lesser work on the client or the user of that resource. So I'm guessing platform as a service just is, I would assume that the cloud provider is providing the users or a client in this case with a platform that they can work on without having to worry about the hardware and the operating system and the different specs that you would need to run something. All you have to do as a user is focus on coding rather on developing, on building that application that you're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a fair way to put it. So for PaaS, think of it from the user's perspective. So your definition, I think, captured all the main components, but I'll just exemplify it a bit more. So from the user's perspective, the application and the data is the only two components now you're thinking about. The runtime, middleware, the operating system, server storage, networking, all of that is handled by the cloud providers now. So to get back to the pizza example, now as a platform as a service and PaaS solutions, the user is only thinking about which dining table will I dine at, and the soda, the kind of soda I will have. The rest, like the oven, gas, fire, pizza dough, the topping, sauce, cheese, they're all provisioned for you. So it's more like you go to a restaurant and you order your pizza, you pick your dining table, and you pick the kind of experience you want. That's quite analogous to platform as a service, which is known as PaaS. So does that make sense?
It does. I think consumers are really spoiled for choice then, because now you don't have to worry about a lot of things, right? Especially because you say pizza, now I'm getting hungry. But IaaS is, okay, I'm giving you some help. PaaS is, I'm giving you a lot more help. And now I'm wondering what SaaS is. Does the customer do anything?
Not really. For SaaS, they just use the application and they are just consumers. And SaaS is one of the easiest and most available, widely used kind of services provided. And it doesn't necessarily have to be part of the cloud. There are SaaS solutions that are not part of the cloud as well. So in SaaS solutions, the dining table is also picked for you. The kind of soda you'll have is also there. And you think about nothing else except eating the food. It's more like a dining out experience.
This is great. I love SaaS. SaaS is my favorite. but
like Gmail is a good example, you see?
Okay,
Gmail.
For SaaS?
Yeah.
Right. And what about, let's just go over PaaS a little more in terms of examples. Are there any examples that our listeners will be able to relate to, or
So I always use the example of Beanstalk because it's AWS, Amazon Web Services Beanstalk. So it's another resource provided by them. So what it does is that you're building this application and all you have to do is upload your deployable code, which comes in a package of WAR file. And I mentioned this because it's very easy to remember, but if you are interviewing or talking to tech professionals, it makes you seem more well-read because you're deploying a WAR file. But anyway.
Legit is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, legit. That's the word. So you upload your .war file and Beanstalk does the rest. So they provide the plugin toolkit for the Visual Studio and other features. And this means that you can just deploy your application to Beanstalk and manage it without leaving your IDE. So other AWS resources, Beanstalk can automate, it can automate the management tasks such as CloudWatch, which is like a monitoring tool. It can monitor the health of your application, the system's performance, and protect your environment if you're sharing it. And it can also give you how secure it is at different layers. So overall, you just think about your code and how to deploy it, and the rest is taken care of.
I also read about Heroku from Salesforce. I think that's one of their tools. Is that PaaS then?
I'm not too familiar about Heroku, but I think it's a PaaS solution as far as I know. It's for PHP and Python, right?
Yeah, it said it's friendly with different languages. It's compatible with your Java. It's compatible with Python.
I know Heroku, you can upload Node.js and Ruby, which are very frequently used nowadays, and Python as well. So I would assume it's a PaaS without much research into it. So it's safe to say it's a PaaS solution. Because all you're trying to do is you write this file, that's your application, and you are uploading it. And to go back to our Beanstalk example, they take care of the rest. You don't have to think about, the rest of how it will work, the environments it will work in, or the health of your application.
When you say they will take care of it, what are they taking care of? The cloud provider, what are they really doing on their end?
So that means you have to look at the workflow of what, to get back to our example, Elastic Beanstalk does. So you create the application, you're uploading it, then you have to launch the environment. There are different kinds of environment that the application has to work. There's a developer environment, there's a QA environment, and then there has to be a management of the environment. For example, if your application requires high levels of security and you have all these layers on it, how do you know that it's functioning the way it's supposed to? Health monitoring is quite important. And there are other resources you use together with Elastic Beanstalk to make this happen. So you don't have to think about, you don't have to manually go through to see if there are any security breaches. Through CloudWatch, you will get an alert saying that, okay, something is happening, or the health of your application is not good enough, or you're having too much traffic, reduce it, or find other ways to solve it. So it gives you that red alert.
And in this case, when you say application, is it safe to assume that this is an application on the Apple's Play Store or the Google Play Store? Does that still work as an application?
When I talk about application, I'm thinking more like an app file, you write a front-end file or you write some kind of... Let's think about a website and you've coded everything down. And it's a three-layer system. So you have the front-end and then you have some kind of database and middleware. And you write this whole code for your app to work that you'll be launching on the App Store. So how will that work? You first launch it to Beanstalk. It takes care of the environments, and then you make it available in different platforms. So when users start using your application, it doesn't break. The health is fine.
And so I'm guessing most of the applications that we as consumers are able to use on the phone have been through a PaaS journey at some point.
Of course. At some point it has, I'm sure they use... I mean, there are many different vendors. It's not that you have to use Beanstalk. There are other... available through GCP or Azure, but at some form of PaaS, yes.
Sorry, what is GCP and what is... I know we know what Azure is, but GCP?
GCP is Google Cloud Platform. So I'm just talking about in general. You don't have to stick with Amazon Web Services.
Another acronym.
Another acronym.
GCP. Okay, so Google Cloud is also called as GCP. And do we want to talk about SaaS, or is that too much for this episode?
I mean, SaaS is pretty easy to understand. So we'll go back to the pizza example. I mean, everything's provisioned. The dining table soda. It's like a dine-out experience. You just order and you use. It's just like Gmail. So everything's available. You just do your task and that's it. Dropbox is another example. Facebook, there's Twitter. So a lot of the applications we use, they're actually SaaS solutions.
Got it. And then, for example, Microsoft Office even, right? Would be a SaaS solution.
Yeah, Microsoft Office is a great example. Google Apps is another great example for SaaS solutions because you're going there, you're just getting the app you want. It's just about the users. So you don't have to think about code.
And when you say this is a SaaS solution because it's everything is being done by the cloud provider and you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So let's just take Gmail, for example, right? When I'm writing an email or attaching a file or... So what is happening in the back end when I'm doing all those things? Is the data sitting on my system?
So in terms of privacy, like this is a very long discussion, and the question you've asked, it's a great question for systems design type of questions. And I don't think we have time this episode to go over that. But yes, for Gmail, they do provision your shard of the database that's for your that's against your user ID. And one day maybe we can go through like the system design of how Gmail works, because it's a much longer discussion than like the few more minutes we have for this episode.
Of course. So do we want to quickly wrap up and summarize the three solutions in a very, very one or two line format with the pizza example? Actually, that would be great because I'm hungry and it'll set me up for dinner.
Do you want to give it a shot?
You put me on the spot, but let me go for it. Okay, so in the pizza context, it would be a situation where you're being provided the pizza dough and the tomato sauce from the cloud provider, but everything else, for example, like the oven, your dining table, your soda, your cutlery, etc., is something that you will have to do yourself.
Correct.
And in the past, you kind of graduate from there to be a little more spoiled for choice, where you get not only the pizza dough and the ketchup, or the tomato sauce, you also get your oven and all the other things that you need to cook that pizza. You just have to pick your own dining table. And SaaS makes sure that everything is done on the cloud provider's end, while all you have to do is kind of use the application at your end. And Gmail is a great example for that. And an example for PaaS would be Beanstalk. And an example for IaaS, I didn't really catch that, but what was it again?
S3. The example that we went with is S3 by AWS. It's a storage bucket for data.
S3 by AWS. Okay. Yeah, so that's my understanding.
Yeah. I think, Ashwin, you've nailed it. For SaaS, it's just like you're sitting in your home couch and you're using and you're watching Netflix and you order food and it's here. So that's a SaaS solution, but you've really nailed it.
Nice. And I would really urge our listeners to take a look at that link that I've shared on the show notes, so it's easier to understand these three models in comparison. And we'll have a lot more to talk about in our next episodes, but this was great, Ria. Thank you for yet another insightful cloud talk.
And our next episode comes out in 2 weeks, 31st of May, so stay tuned.